Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." Now skip down to verse 11. I'm going to read the interpretation of the parable by our Lord. I'm not going to go through the whole parable. You've, I'm sure, heard it before. But the Bible says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they, which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." Heavenly Father, we are needy tonight. God, I'm needy tonight. I ask for your help as we look at your word. May the Holy Spirit be here. May he quicken hearts and enlighten folks. God, may you help me to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, I need your help. God, I want to be pleasing to you, and I want this church to be pleasing to you. So, God, it's in your name and for your purpose that, Lord, we meet here tonight. Please bless your word. I ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Here we have the parable of the sower and the Lord's interpretation of his parable, but I really just want to concentrate on one verse. Actually, I just want to concentrate on one phrase from one verse. And I've got a real short sermon tonight. It's going to be short and sweet, all right? So it's not going to be very long, but it's going to be, I hope, it's going to be something to encourage you in the work of the Lord. So Jesus said in verse 5, the one phrase I want to look at is, "A sower went out to sow." A sower went out to sow. And as followers or disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have a job to do. We all have a job to do. We are seed sowers. We have the responsibility to sow seed. I have to mention just a couple things about this passage, and you've heard it before, so I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard. I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things. Number one, the Word of God is the seed. The Word of God is the seed. And then secondly, the heart of man is the ground. The heart of man is the ground. And we also learn from this parable that we are dependent upon God. When I say that, I mean this. When a man plants an earthly crop, even if he does everything he ought to do, he is still dependent upon God. If he tills the land, and he gets all the rocks out and the soil looks good, and he plants the seed the way he's supposed to at the time that he's supposed to, and he waters it and makes sure that the birds and the pests don't eat it, he's still dependent upon God. I say that to remind you that we can do everything right, but God must give the increase. We can do all the things that we need to do as Christians, but God must give the increase. We can, as a church, we can spread the gospel, and we can send out missionaries, and we can hand out tracts, and we can witness to our neighbors, but God must give the increase. I'm telling you this, we as a church have to get a heart for sinners. We have to get a compassion for the lost. We have to pray. It's not enough just to do, listen, it's not enough just to do the easy things. The hard things is praying, folks. Really, if you know anything about praying, your flesh don't mind doing anything hardly but praying. It does not like to pray. It fights that prayer time. It can find something else to do. It can get distracted real easy because the devil and your flesh does not like prayer. That's just the fact. The Apostle Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The Bible tells us that we are laborers together with God. In other words, we're dependent on Him. We're co-laborers. God has to give the increase, doesn't He? And we need to understand that because I can't make... Listen, I'm not a salesman. You've probably figured that out. I'm a little too blunt, a little too honest. I'm not a salesman. But I have talked people into repeating a prayer. I have talked people into making a profession. A lot of people, you can do that. But that doesn't, God has to do the saving, folks. God has to save people. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. God has to save people. So, unless God, the Holy Spirit, breaks up the heart and sows the seed, there won't be any fruit. God, the Holy Spirit, has to convict people. What I'm telling you is this, no conviction, no conversion. God has to convict people. God has to bring people to a... God takes the Word of God, the law of God, and makes people realize they're lost. We sung that tonight, if I remember right. At Calvary, didn't we sing that? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. So, listen. He said, I spurned the law. The law, he learned that he had broken God's law. Spurgeon said the law was 10 black horses pulling a plow across his heart. That's a good picture of what the law is. The law, God uses that law to, the very thing the world hates, thou shalt not. God uses that law to get sinners in a shape. To where they can be saved. I remember reading about a pastor in South Africa. And we think of South Africa, we don't think of the city, but I assume he was a city pastor because he had a marquee out in front of his church, and I doubt he was in a hut with a thatch roof with a marquee outside, okay? But anyway, he said that every Sunday he put one of the Ten Commandments on that marquee. And he said he had that whole community stirred up and people started getting saved. Of course, before they got saved, they got mad. People started getting saved and revival came to that church there. Why? Because he did what was unpopular. He told people they were sinners. He took the Word of God and showed people they needed to be saved. And we live in a day where that's not too popular to do, is it? To tell people that they're sinners. But guess what? That's our duty. That's our job. J.C. Ryle said concerning this parable I've read to you, it was meant to be a warning to all ministers of the gospel not to look for too great results from sermons. It was meant not least to be a warning to hearers to take heed how they hear. Preaching is an ordinance of which the value can never be overrated in the Church of Christ, but it should never be forgotten that there must not only be good preaching, but good hearing. You have to hear. So, my desire is to look at this one phrase our Savior used. A sower went out to sow his seed. Now, I have a confession to make. I don't witness like I should. And I need to do better. And if I expect you to do better, I've got to do better. So, what I'm saying tonight is, I'm talking to me, and I hope it will affect you also. First of all, in this parable, we see the person. The person. Jesus said, a sower. A sower went out to sow his seed. I want to remind you tonight that Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You are a sower. You are a sower. You have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. We have that responsibility. We owe that to our fellow man. And then I want to say this. Any saved person can be a witness. You might be sitting there tonight saying, well, I can't do that. I'm too shy, or I'm too this, or I'm too that. But you can do it. You have to do it. As one fellow said, if I did that, he'd kill me. The preacher said, then die. Die to self. You have to die to self, Tim. It's hard to witness to people sometimes. You've got to make yourself do it sometimes. But we need to do it. We need, all of us have responsibility. Any saved person can be a witness, and there's all kinds of ways you can witness. If you're not bold enough to talk to people, I understand that. But, you know, don't prove yourself to be a hypocrite and talk about the ball game and what was on TV last night and everything else. If you can talk to them about that, you can talk to them about something else, all right? All I'm saying is this. You can witness. If you can just leave a track somewhere, that's a witness. I was at a restaurant with an old preacher one day, and I think Evelyn was with me. We were over in Kentucky. And the waitress come over, and he's a southern gentleman, I guess you might call him. He looked at that waitress, and I don't think he took his hand, but it felt like he did anyway, just the way he was talking to her. It seems like he reached out and said, ma'am, here's what he said. He said, are you a church person? I thought, what? Are you a church person? What kind of question is that? But you know what? That opened the door. She said, no, I don't go anywhere to church. She said, I used to. And buddy, he just went right in there and started talking to her about going to church. Listen, we think we got to have some kind of certain way to talk to people. You don't have to have some. I was taught that way. I was taught you had to wear a white shirt and a dark tie, and you had to say this. Sir, I mean, I was just like, I was when I walked out of that soul winning class, you thought I was selling Amway. Or whatever. I mean, I had this pattern down, and it worked. If I could go clickety-click, clickety-click right down, and at the end of it, I could get you to repeat a prayer. But I got news for you. After about 3 or 4 months of that, I went to the pastor, and I said, I don't know what's going on, preacher. I said, but these people aren't getting the same thing I got. Because they don't even have enough God in them to get them to church. And boy, he got mad. Well, I was just young. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about it. I was just trying to do what he told me to do. And I had my white shirt and my dark tie and my little New Testament, and I had the plan. And then I started to I left there because I just wasn't. I knew there's something wrong there. You can't have 1,000 people saved a year and nobody come to church. So I went to another church. I go out on soul winning night. I walk into the pastor's office. He's got on this Hawaiian shirt and a floppy leather hat. I've got on my white shirt and my dark tie. I said, aren't we going soul winning tonight? He said, yeah, come on, let's go. Grabbed his Bible. I said, you gonna change? I didn't know you could go soul winning in a Hawaiian shirt with a floppy leather hat. But you know what? The common people heard him gladly. I'm just saying, you need to bloom where you planted. Why don't we just be who we are and be a witness? A sower went out. We're to be sowers. And one, you may plant, and I may water, or I may water, and you may plant, but we've got a job to do. Now, here's the thing. We're totally dependent upon God. So here's, when you witness somebody, or if you hand somebody a tract, or if you talk to somebody about the Lord, you need to pray about that and ask God to do something there, to open their heart, open their eyes, get them back in church. Maybe they're backslid. Whatever the situation is, you need to pray about that. And then secondly, the place. The first was the person, a sower. The second is the place. He went out. There's no sense me trying to witness here. I mean, imagine if you walked up to a farm and the farmer was in his barn scattering seed around the barn. You'd say, what are you doing? He said, I'm sowing. In the barn? You need to go out in the field, dummy. The sower went forth. A lot of churches, and this one too, listen, we need to get a vision of outside these doors. We need to understand that the field's out there. It's okay for us to come here every Sunday and pat each other on the back, but there's more to it than that. A sower went forth to sow. Fellowship is fantastic. I love it. But we need to go out. We need to go out. And learning is great, and I love to learn more about the Word of God, but we need to go out. Now, let me say this. Lest you think I'm thinking about starting some soul winning program, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I know of a church who probably 10 years ago was about this size. Right now, they're running around 200. As far as I know, they have no soul winning program. They don't go out on Thursday night. They don't go out on Tuesday night. They don't go out on Saturday. But they have grown from 25, 30, 40 people to 200. How'd they do it? Word of mouth. In other words, when John Doe went to work Monday, he said, you should have come to our church Sunday. You ought to hear what our preacher said Sunday. You would have really liked our church service Sunday. Why don't you come to church with me sometime? That's how they did it. There's no other explanation for it other than God. Just people telling, inviting people one-on-one where they're at. You say, well, the people I work with, hey, look, I was one of the people you worked with. I was a beer-drinking, hell-raising, pot-smoking idiot. And some guy got in my truck one morning on a frosty morning, a Nissan four-wheel-drive truck, about ready to fall apart, got in my truck and said, won't you come to church with me Sunday? And I said, okay, I will. I'm telling you, you don't know what God's doing before you get there. The very person you think would never come to church is just might be waiting for you to ask them. You don't know. You don't know what God's going to do. So you need to go out daily. You need to go out with a purpose. And you need to go out praying. We have to go out into the field if we intend to sow. That's all I'm saying. I'm reminding me just as much as I'm reminding you. But you know, there's people all around us that need the Lord, folks. Isn't that right? I mean, all around us. There's enough people. You say, well, there's already a bunch of churches in Clendenin. Well, I don't know how. They're not full. And there's more people not going to church than they are going to church. So there's plenty of pickings. So we see the person, a sower. We see the place that's out there. And then we see the process. A sower went out to sow his seed. And Jesus here instructs us how to have a crop. We have to sow the Word of God. We have to sow the Word of God. God expects us to sow. And no man can expect to reap a harvest if he doesn't sow a crop. It's not enough for me to go back there and shut that door and say, "Dear Lord, please send us somebody by." If I don't ever invite anybody, that's not enough, is it? I've got to sow some seed. I've got to do my part. I've got to be a witness. I've got to talk to people. And so do you. I just want you to think about that. I just want to remind you of that tonight. A sower went out to sow. Tim, there's people out there. Craig, there's people out there that they've got loved ones who want to see them be saved. And I might not be able to reach them, but you might. And their own children may not be able to reach them, or their own wife or family may not be able to reach them, but somebody else might be able to. God uses people. And if I can plant something, Apollos might come by and water something, and God might give the increase, mightn't he? God, God's behind the scenes. He's working. We just need to do our part. We need to be obedient to what we've been told to do, and that's to be a witness.